Hey, this is Maya, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 172 of the Brad Gilmore Show. Talking about SmackDown 1000, as well as some other things. Now, as I'm recording this, SmackDown 1000 is still going on, but not to worry. I am streaming it on the brand new iPhone XS Max. Is it 10 or is it XS? Like, is it XS Max or is it 10X Max? 10X Max is much easier to say, but saying like iPhone X sounds way doper than iPhone 10. iPhone X Max sounds cool too, but when they throw the S in there, it kind of messes everything up. You go from the iPhone 10, dope, iPhone 10 Max, doper, and then iPhone XS Max. It seems like there's too much going on. But anyway, SmackDown 1000 went down yesterday, and at the time I'm doing this, it's going on right now. I'm watching Rey Mysterio make his debut, or his re-debut, in WWE against Shinsuke Nakamura. And I'm really happy for Rey. I mean, we saw him come back. Was he in the Royal Rumble and the Greatest Royal Rumble this year? Because I think that he was. I think we've seen Rey Mysterio multiple times. Let me see. 2018 Royal Rumble. I know he was in the Greatest Royal Rumble. But maybe he was. That's all he was in. I'm trying to pull it up here. But it's good to see Rey Mysterio back. Rey Mysterio came down to Reality Wrestling a couple years ago. And it was for our Christmas Chaos event. And Rey presented the new Reality of Wrestling Championship to Gino when Gino won it, I think, in the main event against Evan Snow that year. That's if everything is correct. I could be off on it, but I'm trying to find out. Okay, here we go. Here are the entrants. So you got Rusev. I know Rey Mysterio had to be. I'm looking. John Cena. Yes. Rey Mysterio was number 27, free agent John Cena. There are three free agents. Free agent John Cena, free agent Rey Mysterio, and free agent The Hurricane. I almost forgot that The Hurricane was in the match. Shout out to Hurricane Helms. But I remember he came down for Christmas Chaos, and he was great. We went to Topgolf after. We talked MMA and UFC for about 2 hours because there was hectic traffic in Houston. And he was actually the first person to wish me happy birthday that year. So I think that was 2 years ago. So yeah, shout out to me. Or 3 years ago. I think that was 3 years ago. So shout out to me. But they're going at it right now. This is a match I don't think anybody ever thought that we'd see. Rey Mysterio versus Shinsuke Nakamura. That's pretty cool. The show opened with Truth TV, which I really like Carmella and R-Truth together. Although it's somewhat of a downgrade for Carmella, I enjoy them together. And I think that she's actually making it feel important. And then Stephanie McMahon comes out and it starts yapping about how, you know, she was the original general manager of SmackDown. Let's not forget this. But she was kind of, you know, tooting her horn. And then comes out the commissioner of SmackDown, Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon and Stephanie go at it for a little bit. And then Vince McMahon comes out to one of the loudest ovations in recent memory. And I always love when Vince comes out, because people online talk about Vince all the time. They always have negative things to say about Vince. Vince is out of touch. Vince is, you know, a terrible person, yada, yada, yada. He doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, it's all about the money with Vince McMahon. And then Vince comes out and he gets the entire crowd in Washington, D.C. to sing to him. They sang his theme song along with him. So it was cool to see Vince. And then the segment ends by Vince McMahon, you know, doing the stand back dance with Stephanie, Stephanie, Shane, and Carmella and R-Truth. Very odd. I gotta say, Carmella was looking great, by the way. I know that's not what this is about, but she looked great. And I'm just gonna say it. When that's the truth, I'm just gonna say it, and I'm not gonna feel bad about it. Which reminds me, before I go on with SmackDown Live, I do want to say I tweeted after yesterday's show, and I asked anybody if anybody else wasn't offended. Because remember, there was that wrestling zone writer talking, you know, he blocked me on Twitter because he was upset that I just said that wrestlers have been talking crap to each other for decades, and this is how you build stories. And he called the Nikki Ronda thing slut shaming. And once again, you know what? While I have the laptop out, I'm going to look up the definition to slut shaming because I don't know what it is. I thought it was like whenever you called out a woman in her, you know, sexual pursuits, and if there were many of them, you know, I feel like that would be what it. I'm looking for definition here. Definition. I feel like that would be what slut shaming is. So let's see what it is. This is according to the dictionary, which dictionary I don't know, but according to Google's dictionary, I guess it is noun slut shaming, the act or fact of stigmatizing a woman for engaging in behavior judged to be promiscuous or sexually provocative. Now, it goes on to give me the verb form, and it's stigmatize a woman for engaging in behavior judged to be... Okay, so it's the same thing. So does that count if you say that, you know, she knocked down John Cena's bedroom door, and then... Is that what that would be? Engaging in behavior judged to be promiscuous. I guess that's promiscuous and sexually provocative. So I guess I have the term wrong. But anyway, I threw it out to Twitter to see if anybody else was offended or if I just missed it. Because I am, like I said, I am up for being wrong and being corrected. And I think that I came out of it with a different aspect, with a different outlook for it. I still think it was a great promo and Ronda's best promo of her career and it sold the match. But I can see how some people may have thought that. And that's all I was asking Homeboy from the WrestleZone. Was it just engaged me in the theater of ideas, as Matt Topolsky likes to say. Engage me in the theater of ideas. Don't block me just because I said something contrary to what you tweeted. Engage me in ideas. I have admitted on Twitter several times I'm wrong. I had a DM exchange with somebody today, and I was like, you know what? She told me some points, and I was like, you know what? I didn't even look at it like that. I think you're right. You're absolutely right. I am up for being wrong. So correct me if you see it, but don't just block me and have me go away. And rarely do I just go and attack somebody or anything like that. And that's not what my tweet to Homeboy was about either. I just thought that he was wrong. And instead of responding to me, he blocked me. So anyway, I'm off that. But I see it from a different view now. So that's how we saw the opening of SmackDown 1000 start. And then it went into a match between the Usos and AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan. AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, of course, building to their match at Crown Jewel. And, you know, the match was fine. The Usos are a great tag team. And it was, you know, I've always liked the, oh, you got to tag before we face each other thing, especially when it's two baby faces. You know, they did this with John Cena and The Rock. They've done it with plenty of people where, the unlikely tag team. And I always like when they actually win tag team championships. I enjoy that. Like, what was it? Austin and Michaels, they won the tag titles when they were in a feud with each other. I know it's happened more than once. I just can't think of another one. Kind of the odd pairing of tag teams. I've always enjoyed that. So if this is for the tag team titles, and then imagine they put the tag team titles on them. We did see a tag team title change on this show. But I guess it was fine. I will say overall the SmackDown 1000, it had some cool moments and it had some important feeling moments, but it kind of, as goes SmackDown a lot of the times, just, you know, from the big picture view, it kind of paled in comparison to Raw 1000. Raw 1000 was a great show. I mean, you had DX at the very beginning come out, which is always fun. And I'm not talking about Raw 25, I'm talking about Raw 1000. You had the WWE Championship on the line, John Cena versus CM Punk. The Rock came out and said that he's going to wrestle at the Royal Rumble for the WWE Championship. Like, a lot of really cool things happened on Raw 1000. The Brothers of Destruction came back. I think you saw all the legends come up and beat up Heath Slater. In that, when we're supposed to see a wedding with Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee, and that's when AJ said, I do, to Vince McMahon for the general managership of Monday Night Raw. There was a lot of really fun things on Raw 1000. SmackDown 1000 overall was good. It wasn't great. It was good. Like I said, there was the tag match. And then the match, the segment that I love the most, here's Mickie James, Bobby Lashley, and Leo Rush. The segment I love the most was obviously Evolution. Evolution had a great segment. I don't know why Triple H wasn't dressed in a suit. That kind of disturbed me. But you had Ric Flair out there being the national treasure and icon that Ric Flair is. You had Randy Orton, who looked about a million times younger. And I don't mean that. That's too much hyperbole. He looked like 10 years younger in that full suit. Somebody tweeted on Twitter, huh? Somebody tweeted that Randy, you know SmackDown 1000 must be a big night because Randy's wearing pants, which made me laugh. But he looked great in a suit. He's always looked great in a suit. So did Vince, by the way. Vince always has looked phenomenal in a suit. Can I say that? Is that okay for me to say? He looks great in a suit, and he's always super dapper. I mean, his shoe game was fresh. They were nice and shiny. You know, they looked sharp. His suit game was nice. Going up to that contrast knot tie that he was wearing around the neck. Vince McMahon is a swaggy, swaggy elderly gentleman. I got to say, for 70, was he 73 now? 72, 73? He's looking real good. Vince is looking real good. His dancing, he's pigmentally challenged and rhythmically challenged. That's always my joke. White people just don't have rhythm. We just don't have it. It's a rare occasion we have it. We just don't have it. But anyway, I think the show was okay. The Evolution segment was great. Batista, it was great to see Batista back. I had realized, so I think it was 2010 when he left the first time. 10 or 11, but I think it was 10. I think it was 2010. He leaves in 2010, and then he didn't come back until 2014, and he goes on to win the Royal Rumble that year. And then we didn't see him again. I think it was like Night of Champions or Extreme Rules. He had the Evolution match with the Shield, which was a great match. And then we didn't see him again for another 4 years. This was the first time we've seen Batista in 4 years. That's crazy. Blue-tista, Boo-tista, which he made reference to tonight, and he cut a hell of a promo. Batista cut a hell of a promo at the show. He was great. And he even ended it, you know, he said there's four things he wanted to get off his chest. I don't remember all the things that they were, but they were like pretty much, thank you, I wanted to be here, it's in my hometown, and I'm with these guys. Those were like the four things, I think. And he's going through, and Randy cut like a little bit of a heel promo, but it just seemed like, it really seemed like the writers went to them and they said, hey, whatever y'all want to do. Whatever y'all want to do. Ric Flair was out there talking about 10,000. I don't know what the hell he was talking about, but I loved it because it's Ric Flair. And then, Randy takes shots, Triple H says Evolution. It's the meaning of the word. SmackDown 1000. He did that, and that was fun. That was fine. It was fine. It was fun. But we saw that. Then Batista cut this great promo, like I said, talking about all kinds of stuff. And then he said, he went down the line. He said, Randy, I was 13-time world champion. As soon as I saw him, I knew he was going to be something special. Ric Flair, 16-time champion. The nature boy. He said, keep it in your pants, Rick. Which I loved. Oh, that Rey Mysterio just won his match. Rey Mysterio beat Shinsuke Nakamura, and he is in the Saudi Arabia tournament, or the Crown Jewel World Cup tournament. I don't know what that means. But anyway, so we see that, and then he goes, Triple H, 14-time world champion, which I think is he's 14-time. Or maybe Randy's 14 and Triple H 13. One of the two. But he goes, 13-time world champion. Done it all in this business. Well, except for beating me. Ooh, a hush fell over the crowd. They stared each other down. The fans started cheering. Uh-oh, here comes Taker. The fans started cheering. And then they hugged. Batista said, though, for a long time he'd like to come back and work a full program with Triple H. After seeing this promo and seeing Big Dave, who's still in great shape, and I think he and Triple H are the same exact age, by the way, which people forget, because he looks younger. Well, he looked younger back in the day. But I would love to see them back in a program with each other going into WrestleMania. I mean, I know people would complain about it. But I gauge Twitter to see what Twitter thinks. And Twitter seems to really enjoy Dave Batista being back in WWE. Now, of course, this was probably a one-off, and we're not going to see Dave again. Maybe we see him at Royal Rumble. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't know. But I would like to see him in Triple H. I think Dave has still more to, he's got still more to offer. He's got more to offer. So I like that. Trying to think of what else stuck on the show. The Cutting Edge segment was okay. I could have done without a Cutting Edge and a Truth TV in the same thing, in the same show. I could have done without that. But that's neither here nor there. And then I liked the tag team championship match, New Day versus The Bar. The Bar ends up winning the tag team championships. That was kind of cool. Didn't see that coming. The New Day, though, has gotten to the point where they don't really need championships, and they can win them when they need to win them. And then you just, you know, you just put them on other people, and then they win them back a few months later. They're like the torch passers now for the SmackDown division. I think on both brands. Because I think New Day's got to come back to Raw probably next Superstar Shakeup. We're going to see New Day back on Raw. So it was. I don't really know what the involvement of the Big Show was supposed to be or was or is, but cool. And that's really all I got on SmackDown 1000. Rey Mysterio versus Shinsuke was fun. The Undertaker's in the ring right now as I'm watching this. Once again, overall, it was a good show. The Miz, Rusev thing was weird how quick it was, but I liked that Miz won and he's in the tournament, or in the World Cup tournament, which is also silly. This World Cup tournament filled of all, like, I think, U.S. guys to declare the best in the world. I don't know. Maybe we're just thinking of it in the general sense of what the World Cup is, like the World Cup of soccer. We're thinking nationalities represented, you know, throughout the world competing in this one sport. And I think this is just like, who's the best wrestler in the world kind of thing. And I think Seth Rollins wins it. I'm just throwing that one out there. I think Seth Rollins wins the tournament. But aside from that, it was a good show. It wasn't a great show by any means. Undertaker, like I said, is in the ring right now, probably cutting a promo on Crown Jewel. And I like seeing the old guys back. We saw Kurt Angle do commentary. We saw, oh, how could I forget, Jerry the King Lawler and Booker T. My man Booker T doing commentary. That was cool. It was weird how they had him sitting at New Day's table. I didn't really get that. But I guess he anointed New Day recently. And he is King Booker. That's King Lawler. So I guess the Kings of Commentary were sitting in for the show. That was fun. Let's see. King Books with the Queen Pinky up. Okay, sorry. Just looking at stuff. But I really do love that SmackDown has made it this far, and I enjoy SmackDown. SmackDown was the first show I ever went to. The first show I ever went to for WWE was a SmackDown house show. And I went with my father. I think it was in 2006. Main event was Rey Mysterio versus King Booker for the World Championship. The Queen Charmel was there, and she was so annoying, I just wanted her to shut up. Oh, my goodness. All hail King Booker! You know, too much. So it's cool to see Booker now on the 1,000th episode of SmackDown. I think he's on the Mount Rushmore of SmackDown, if you ask me. I think I did my Mount Rushmore recently. It was Eddie, Booker, Rock, and Taker. Eddie, Booker, Rock, and Taker. I think that was my top four. It might have changed, but King Booker, Undertaker, The Rock, and Eddie Guerrero. Yeah, that's my Mount Rushmore of SmackDown. A couple other things before we wrap up this daily episode of the Brad Gilmore Show. The Conners debuted on ABC. I'm waiting to see what the numbers were for that. That's the Roseanne show without Roseanne. Of course, you remember Roseanne Barr made those comments on Twitter that were dumb and stupid. And she got fired from her show. And now they brought the show back and they killed her off in the first 5 minutes. They said that she, was it an opioid overdose? Opioid overdose? I haven't seen the show yet, but I'm going to watch it. I've recorded it. I liked the Roseanne show when it was first on. I liked the reboot of the Roseanne show. I thought it was funny. I didn't watch it religiously. I think I watched like the first couple episodes, but I enjoyed what I saw. I thought it was funny. So I'm going to watch Conor, see what it's like. It's weird though, to replace to replace the star of a show, even if it's deserved. It's just weird. I don't think the show ever does well. The only other example I can think of off the top of my head was, what was the show? Two and a Half Men. Charlie Sheen was on that. And then he had the whole beef. He had the whole Tiger Blood, Adonis DNA thing. And with Chuck Lorre. And then they fired him from the show. They brought in Ashton Kutcher. And then it just didn't really work out well, did it? I don't think you can do it. I just don't think it can be done. I think a spinoff can work, but it has to be like completely unrelated. Like, Frasier was a spinoff. It worked. You know? Joey was a spinoff. Really didn't work. There are a lot of spinoffs, but I think Frasier... Frasier's got to be probably the most successful spinoff of all time. You know, I know Happy Days had like 1,000 of them. Joni loves Chachi, all that kind of stuff. But I think Frasier must be the most... I don't know what I'm talking about, but it must be the most successful spinoff of all time. Okay. Astros lost 8-2. Let's do better. I might have Spike Ferriston. I'm going to reach out to Spike Ferriston, who's been on the show before. He's a big Boston Red Sox fan. I want to see if maybe he'll come on and we can talk about the Astros-Red Sox series. And we'll make our final predictions. Sox are up 2-1. I'm not a fan of that. The Purge is on now, and I'm not a fan of that either. And I'm not a fan of rambling on long. So this is the Brad Gilmore Show. Check me out on all social media at Brad Gilmore. And go to my website, bradjgilmore.com, to find out more. Heated conversations later this week with me and Booker T. Also, the Schmodown Rundown later on this week with myself, Frank Janish, and Chris Clark. And on Sunday, Season 5 of Back to the Future, the podcast, comes back. And it is the Back to the Future Rundown Schmodown to declare the first ever Back to the Future champion of the world. It's a trivia contest going down this Sunday on Collider Podcast. Me versus Frank Janish, William Bibiani hosting, Robert Meyer Burnett hosting. It's going to be good. Until then, though, we'll see you.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?